Well, most Americans are at least vaguely aware that there are questions about food safety, as well as concerns about genetically modified crops and the treatment of farm animals and farm workers on what are increasingly factory farms, not the bucolic barns on your egg carton. But a new film puts all these concerns together and throws in the question, is U.S. food production unhealthy and immoral?
I mean, a culture that just views a pig as a pile of protoplasmic inanimate structure to be manipulated by whatever creative design the human can foist on that critter will probably view individuals within its community and other cultures in the community of nations with the same type of disdain and disrespect and controlling type mentality.
That's Joel Salatin, an organic farmer, in Food, Inc., the new documentary co-produced by Fast Food Nation author Eric Schlosser and featuring Michael Pollan, author of Omnivore's Dilemma. It's being called The Inconvenient Truth About Food with the same power as Al Gore's global warming film, but as the New York Times points out, Food, Inc. may also make you lose your genetically modified lunch. Joining us, filmmaker Robert Kenner, who just made a face because you say that's not your intent, but boy, some of this stuff is hard to take.
Listen, the industrial food production is not a pleasant system. It's really to get the viewer to start to think about where their food comes from. I think that our food has been transformed more in the last 30, 40, 50 years than in the previous 10,000. We don't get to think about it. We don't see what's happening, and it's sort of a look behind the veil.
Right. Well, you illustrate how McDonald's started the fast food trend, and what grew around it was a fast food production line. Chickens, for instance, made you grow twice the size in 45 days instead of 3 months. But we hear from an industry person who says, yes, we're raising more animals on less land and we're feeding more people. What's the problem?
Basically, our food costs us less now than it probably at any point in history, which is an incredible thing. When I was a kid, food cost us something like 18% of our paycheck. Today, it costs 9% of our paycheck. When I was a kid, though, healthcare cost about 5% of our paycheck. Today, it costs about 18%. So in aggregate, the cost is going up. And I believe there's a direct link between healthcare and the food we're eating.
Well, you make that link with a family that you feature that can't afford good food. A head of broccoli costs more than a soda and a bag of chips.
Yeah, and this family is now spending over $500 a month for medicines to combat diabetes. And that's with the father having diabetes, but it looks like their 13-year-old daughter will be contracting early onset diabetes, something that was unheard of a few years ago. It used to be adult onset diabetes. It's now become early onset because younger and younger people are getting this. One out of every three Americans will have early onset diabetes. Americans born after the year 2000. So this is something that's ultimately going to bankrupt our healthcare system. So on one hand, when you go to the, supermarket, your bill is less than it used to be, but there are all these hidden costs.
Well, and your film lays out the case that snack food is cheaper than, say, an organic carrot because the government subsidizes big corn growers. So there's an excess of corn, and as a result, corn's in everything, including cow feed. Even though cows are biologically designed to eat grass, by feeding them corn, these companies can pack them into these huge feedlots. But when cows eat corn, they're prone to E. coli. There have been deaths from E. coli, including a little boy in Wisconsin after he ate a tainted fast food hamburger. In your film, his mom, a Republican and now a food activist, lobbies Congress. Let's listen.
Really, our food safety advocacy work started 6 years ago when my 2.5-year-old son, Kevin, was stricken with E. coli 157H7. And went from being perfectly healthy, beautiful little boy. And I have a small picture with me today that was taken Aww. 2 weeks before he got sick. He went from that to being dead in 12 days.
Robert Kenner, Barbara Kowalczyk is lobbying for a law in her son's name, Kevin's Law. What would it do and where does it stand?
After her son Kevin died from eating a hamburger with E. coli, it turned out that the meat that killed her son stayed on the shelves for another 12 days because the government does not have the power to recall food that makes us sick.
Who has the power, the company?
Yeah, it's the companies. And I heard one of the heads of the FDA saying, you know, we think it's these corporations can police themselves better than the government can. And that's been sort of the attitude for the last 10, 20 years. Anyway, Barb, you know, after 8 years or so, Barb did not make any progress at getting government to be able to sort of take off tainted foods. It's not only meat, it's everything now. It's an all thing. So, but it now looks like things are going to change, and it looks like the FDA might have that power to recall, and hopefully the USDA will have it as well in the near future.
Well, one of the reasons that there is more potential for disease in food is that cows, pigs, chickens are crowded together in these feeding areas on these factory farms, standing in their feces, dying in their feces. We've known this for a while. In the last couple of years, we've seen undercover footage of how these animals are treated, sick cows, and you have them as well in your film, being prodded by machinery. Many Americans know this now. Why isn't there more of an outcry over it?
There was an efficiency to this system. It's a false efficiency because it's an efficiency that's making us sick, and it's a system that's dependent on gasoline. And it's dependent on polluting the earth. And one of the things we do in Food Inc. is try to connect the dots to show that this system, if you look at it from the beginning to the end, it's not making sense. It solved a problem. It got us calories at much cheaper prices, but it sort of broke in other ways. And we have to figure out how to correct this system. For me, what's just as frightening and something that's probably not as well known is that we're being denied information about what's actually in our food. For me, that was the most shocking. We go to a hearing about whether we should be labeling cloned meats. I didn't even know there were cloned meats. But when the meat representative said, I think it's too confusing for the consumer to be given this kind of information. You know, I realized this kind of thing is happening over and over again for genetically modified organisms, whether it's for RBST, the growth hormone in the cattle, that time and again, these industries are trying to stop us from knowing what's in our food. And I think, you know, in America, if you have a great product, shouldn't you advertise it? Shouldn't we know? If you're going to have a free market, it's got to be based on information.
By the way, you mentioned the industry, the meat industry person testifying this. It was in California where legislators agreed.
Yeah. And then we have the veggie libel laws, which makes it difficult to talk about this food. When I asked Barb, whose son died from that hamburger, what she eats today, she told me she couldn't answer because she could be sued. And then she reminded me about Oprah, who was sued for saying it makes you think twice about eating a hamburger during the Mad Cow incident.
And Oprah won her lawsuit, but she's got deep pockets.
And she also spent 6 years in court.
Just because she said that the Mad Cow scare made her think twice about eating hamburger.
Well, these veggie libel laws make it against the law to disparage a food product. If you endanger a corporation's profits, you're liable.
That's Food Inc. director Robert Kenner. His film also lists the top industry executives who've crossed over from food industry to government regulation of food. And by the way, we mentioned cows eating corn and getting E. coli. Studies show if they're switched to grass for just 5 days, it cuts that E. coli bacteria almost entirely. Well, after the break, farm workers in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from The MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide, on the web at mathworks.com.
Welcome back.
My favorite meal to this day remains a hamburger and French fries. I had no idea that a handful of companies had changed what we eat and how we make our food. I've been eating this food all my life without having any idea where it comes from, any idea how powerful this industry is.
That's Fast Food Nation author Eric Schlosser in the new film Food Inc., which claims that a handful of huge corporations raise farm animals in industrial plants and on subcontracted factory farms, something that seems obviously hard, on farm workers. Director Robert Kenner is with us. Robbie, we should say, you show one farmer thrilled that a company has contracts in his town. He says it saved the town. But you also introduce us to Carol Morrison, who has a contract with Purdue. We watch her twisted face as she wades through hundreds of chickens jammed together on the floor of her coop, falling over into their own feces because they're bred top-heavy. She tries to pull the dead ones out. At night, a huge garbage truck comes and scoops the live ones up to take them to Purdue. Carol says to you, enough is enough. In fact, she loses her contract with Purdue because she refuses to lose the windows on her coops and keep her chickens in darkness, as she says Purdue requires. You say that farmers like Carol get into a cycle of debt. They're required to borrow so much money to work with the big companies. Then they make so little they can't get out. So they have to raise the animals the way the company requires them to.
Yeah, ultimately, Carol's like, I think, third generation, what we call farmer, but it's really not farming, as she says, because ultimately, when you're growing these chickens, you have very little say over what happens. And it's part of a system that's abusive to people.
Which is why many of the workers, and you, this is another aspect of your film, I think the New York Times said you have about 10 films in one here. That's why there are so many illegal workers who do this work.
I think you can tell a lot about a society by how its food is grown. Our food is now grown by illegal immigrants. These are people who have very little say or no say, and that's why they're being hired, because these are dangerous, low-paid jobs. Even these illegal immigrants do not stick around to keep these jobs because they're just too dangerous.
But you show that some of these corporations advertise in Mexico for these workers. They know that they're there, and yet it's the workers who are getting thrown out of the country. The companies aren't being fined at all.
There's a real hypocrisy to our situation at the moment, because we have raids, and these raids are done with the cooperation of all the food giants. And what happens is the workers are arrested, but they manage to just arrest a few people each time so the lines don't slow down. So we continue to get our cheap food, but yet these people who are, you know, responsible for helping deliver this food are now put in prison. And we show a woman who's being arrested, who'd been here for 20 years working on the line, producing this food, who is now sent off to prison without her heart medication. She spends 1 year in prison and then is deported to Mexico.
Well, then there's Monsanto, the company, of course, that brought us Roundup, which kills weeds. But then in 1996, they began selling Roundup-ready soybeans. Only 20% in the U.S. at that time contained patented genes. By 2008, over 90% of soybeans were these genetically modified Monsanto beans. By law, Monsanto is allowed to require farmers to buy new seeds. Traditionally, farmers cleaned their old seeds and used them over and over again. Now they can't. Monsanto is actually able to go after farmers for violating patent laws if they clean the seeds and use them over again.
They have many lawyers who are going after farmers, and they're going after people who are actually even just cleaning the seeds.
It seems like they get you both ways. On the one hand, Monsanto requires that you can't reuse seeds. So if someone's cleaning a genetically modified a seed with Monsanto traits, they require you can't do that anymore. You have to buy new ones. So that's one. But two, since these genetically modified seeds blow all over the place, even if you're trying to have a farm without Monsanto seeds, they may have blown onto your farmland, and Monsanto says, aha, copyright infringement, you're using our seeds without permission.
Yeah, in my mind, you'd think that would be trespassing. But and then the third is they're also putting the seed cleaner himself out of business. So if you don't have seed cleaners, even if you want to have a non-Monsanto product, you no longer have a chance to do it.
Well, here's Troy Rausch. He's the vice president of the American Corn Growers Association, talking about his own family's legal battle with Monsanto, trying to clean their seeds, trying to use their own seeds. Let's listen.
My family spent $400,000 fighting the battle pre-trial. And we were told it would take another $1 million to take the thing to trial. We settled out of court. The way the system appeared to work to me was Lady Justice had the scales, and you piled cash on the scales. And the one that piled the most cash on the scales and hired the most experts and the ones most willing to tell the biggest lies, that was the winner. That seems to be how our justice system functions now.
we used to have lots of scientific sort of investigation going on at our universities, at ag schools, and they were independent ways of researching how to create new crops. But that is now really generally all controlled by corporations such as Monsanto. So there's no independent research. So a lot of the studies that say that, you know, Monsanto seeds produce greater yields are basically funded by people who are being funded by Monsanto. It's very similar to the tobacco industry. You know, there were all those studies saying how cigarettes are not bad for you. And the parallel between these two industries is really important. These are really powerful corporations that are well connected to government. With tobacco, there was an incredible amount of misinformation about the safety of their product. And I think as Americans begin to understand the safety of this food system, I am very optimistic. And I really think of the film, you know, I hope it's very empowering that this is a system that can be changed. And we get to vote three times a day with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We eat this stuff all the time. And ultimately, we're being denied information that's really essential to us as Americans.
That's Robert Kenner. His film is called Food Inc. For more, go to our website, hereandnow.org. Robbie, thanks so much for coming in to talk to
thanks
us.
Thanks so
it.
Much, Robin.
Purdue, Tyson, Smithfield, and Monsanto all declined to be interviewed by Robert Kenner for Food Inc. Monsanto has posted a website response to the film. You can see that and the site Robert Kenner suggests for people who want to take action about their food at hereandnow.org. Back after the news, Here and Now.